Welcome to Slay, the podcast where we dive into all aspects of female health, fitness, and life. I'm your host, Louise Hazel, and in today's episode, we're going to be exploring the importance of balance. In a world filled with endless demands and distractions, finding balance can often feel like an elusive pursuit. Yet, it's essential for our physical, mental, and emotional well-being. From managing work and personal life to nurturing relationships and pursuing passions, achieving balance is the key to leading a fulfilling and harmonious existence. But what does balance truly mean? And how can we cultivate it in our lives? Today, we'll uncover the meaning of balance and explore why it's crucial for our overall health and happiness. So if you're feeling stuck in a job that you despise, unhappy, or out of alignment with your goals, then listen up, because this episode is for you. Joining me today to discuss this topic is everyone's internet bestie. It's the founder of Balanced Black Girl Podcast, Les Alfred. Thank you so much for joining us on the Slay Podcast. How are you doing, my love?
Louise, thank you so much for having me. I mean, we've been talking about podcasting together for so long, so I'm so excited that we're finally sitting down to record.
I know. What a pleasure. It's been a few months, and in the meantime, I broke my arm. You literally moved out of the state. There's so much to catch up on.
Wait, I didn't realize you broke your arm. Oh my
God. Yeah. So the time when we had our previous podcast scheduled, I actually fractured my humerus.
Oh, bit of a nightmare. I'm so sorry.
It's all good. It's healing.
Okay.
It's healing. Life goes on.
Yeah.
But less about me. Let's talk about you. Les, when we met, you know, our mutual friend's house, we had an amazing dinner. At that time in your life, you were deciding whether you were going to make this huge leap, two huge leaps, in fact, leaving Los Angeles behind for New York, and then also, you know, going full in, all in on your podcast, Balanced Black Girl. Explain to us, for those people who don't yet know you, are going to come to know you, what's the Balanced Black Girl podcast all about? How did it come about?
Yeah. What's interesting is that I've been the most risk-averse person my entire life. And then the past year and a half, I've just decided to take all of the risks and just kind of be a far departure from the person who I always was, which has been a very interesting process. But Balanced Black Girl is my podcast that I started in 2018. And people always ask me how I got into podcasting. And it was literally like, I had the idea for my show. The second the idea popped in my head, I went on Amazon, I ordered a microphone, and I just started podcasting and haven't stopped.
I love it. You're literally like me. Eric's like, you're not allowed on Amazon after 9 p.m. at night, because I'm like an impulse person. I shoot from the hip. I think later. And then I'm like, what on earth have I started? In fact, this is the third go around of the Slay podcast. We've had so many stop starts before I finally realized, oh, in order to do a podcast, you have to be so organized. Like, you've done what, 277 episodes in that time?
Yeah, a lot of episodes.
So you have a, you know, weekly podcast. Talk to us about the themes, because it's wellness-based, right?
It is. It started off as wellness, predominantly physical and mental wellness, because in my background, I was a fitness trainer. I was also a wellness blogger. And so at the start of the show, it was very wellness oriented. You know, I was talking to weightlifting coaches and Pilates instructors and dietitians and therapists. And that was very much the core of the show, was for women of color, how do we make this kind of conventional wellness culture work for us? Mm. Over time, it has evolved a bit. And I would almost describe Balanced Black Girl as more of a lifestyle podcast than a wellness podcast. We do still talk about wellness, but we expand the view of wellness and the different ways that wellness impacts every area of our life. And instead of thinking, okay, I have to be this perfectly balanced human, it's more so about how do we examine the things in life that we're balancing to feel as good as we can while we're doing our best.
Excellent. What are you balancing, Les? Fill me in. Look at me. Look at me going all in on our first date.
Oh my gosh. You are going straight Oprah, straight out the gate, and I love it. What am I balancing right now? I think I'm balancing the life that I have right now versus the potential life that I want. And I'm trying to figure out how to bridge that gap.
Mm-hmm.
I have reached a really interesting point with Balanced Black Girl, and I'm being super, super candid here, where I love the platform that I have built. I love my community. I love my listeners. I love how the show helps them. And I'm having this realization that it is not giving me the life that I want, and that I'm not fully seeing how Balanced Black Girl is the path to help me get the life that I want. So I'm trying to figure out, how do I sustain it so that I can continue serving the people who love it and figure out what's next for me?
That is real, real, real. And we love that on Slay. You know, what do you feel like are the things, be, you know, honest here, like, what do you feel like are the things that are missing?
I think spaciousness. You know, before we press record, we were talking a bit about podcasting and just the relentless nature of it, and how every week, you know, week after week, it is like you're just kind of on this hamster wheel of, you know, chasing listens, chasing views, you know, one episode after another. And I think that I would love work that is a little bit slower, that I can kind of sink my teeth into. I have really been craving being more creative. Mm-hmm. And surprisingly, even though my work is very content-based, it actually does not feel very creatively fulfilling for me. So I would love work that is a little bit slower, where I can really take my time producing a body of work and feel more creatively fulfilled. Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that you're kind of leaning towards by way of creativity? Like, you know what I mean? Let's get specific. Is it painting? Is it writing? Like, you know, is it singing? What is it? Like, can you pinpoint it down to a few things or even one thing?
Yeah, I would say the big two are, from a career standpoint, writing, leaning more into writing. Mm-hmm. And from just a hobby happiness standpoint, music.
Okay. Yeah. Break that down for me. What would you want to do in music?
Mm-hmm. I am a terrible dancer, and I have felt self-conscious about dance and moving my body in those ways my entire life. And my dream is to just be able to move my body and not feel like a doofus, not feel like I'm counting steps, but to feel music and to move to it. And that, like, I don't, you know, want to be a professional dancer or need to post videos of me dancing on social media. I just want to be able to turn on music and feel it in my body. And there's a disconnect there that I would love to figure out, just from a hobby standpoint and just from a feeling standpoint.
I'm literally making a call out to all of the Slay listeners. If anybody's in New York, if anyone's got a movement coach, send them your way. I have a really good friend who actually works with the Royal Ballet, who once invited me to kind of do like a dance session with him. I'm like, you are way more flexible than me, my friend. I'm not sure about this. But if he's in New York, I'll have him stop by. That's nuts. That's beautiful. But sounds to me like, you know, we're talking about balance as a theme. And, you know, it's beautiful that you obviously mentioned from a career perspective and a happiness perspective. Where do you think so many of us go wrong when it comes to balance and the things that we're balancing?
I think a lot of people think of balance as equilibrium, like giving 100% to everything. And I don't agree with that. I mean, first of all, it's mathematically impossible to give 100% to everything. I more so see balance as prioritization. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what is the main focus for you at that time? And do you have other things that are supporting that, as opposed to saying, I'm going to give 1,000% at work and 1,000% at home and 1,000% to my kids and 1,000% to this hobby? And we can't do that. What is the main thing right now, and how are you supported to make that happen? That, to me, is balance. And I have realized also through my work in content and in podcasting and so much that I'm unpacking right now. I recently went back to therapy around being an oldest daughter and this big sister. I am like the big sister to literally everybody in my life. And I am having to almost kind of shut that down a little bit and focus more of that on myself. And then also be like, actually, I'm in a place where I need support. I just need to receive. And if people don't have it to give, that's totally fine. But I can't be the big sister that you're used to me being. whether that's to my friends, whether that's to my family, whether that is to my audience, which has been really hard because they're used to me being that person. And so I am balancing learning how to receive because I need a lot more support in this current season of my life than I think I've ever really needed or allowed myself to have. And it's a really uncomfortable place to be.
What a word. Like, you're drawing me in. I'm listening to everything you're saying. I'm nodding because I feel you. Like, I feel like when you are the supplier and the giver, sometimes you just have to kind of turn that tap off for a little bit just to kind of save your own self and your own sanity. Les, what was the last thing, though, that threw you off balance?
The last thing that threw me off balance, I mean, I feel like probably recently, I've just been getting a lot of rejection lately around work and having a lot of things just fall through. A lot of, you know, external forces making implications about what I'm worth, what my work is worth. And so it has been hard to stay as kind of healthy and have as strong of a mind as I know I need to have when you are constantly being knocked down in that way in kind of rapid succession. And that has been 2024 back to back for me so far.
Are we just having a season? I feel like I had this conversation with one of my girls in the gym the other day, and we were just talking about how we're just really struggling to kind of like stay super positive and bright. And that's not to say that there's, you know, my life is shrouded in negativity. It really isn't. But I feel like the cynic in me is just, you know, it's just there. It's like unleashed. And so I feel like, you know, perhaps in this season, it's a surprise when things go right. You know what I mean? Sometimes we're just kind of expecting things to just perhaps, you know, oh, another one. Oh, there's another one. And I feel like this is the season of like blows. You know what I mean? I don't know whether everyone else out there is just like, feels like they're taking blow after blow after blow. But no, I can certainly like resonate with that. And I feel like, yeah, this is really the season for really deep rooted resilience, you know? So you're wise to kind of switch off that tap and just really be like, okay, no, self-preservation time. Let's get through this moment. It will pass, etc. But like, is this something also that comes up for your listeners? Is there a theme that you feel like you're constantly having to tap into with them, or questions that you're constantly having to answer? Is there something like, you know, a similar kind of thing that you're experiencing through the people that you're interacting with, especially your fan base?
Yeah, a lot of things that have been coming up recently with my community are people wanting to make life changes and being afraid to do so. So, you know, I'm dissatisfied in my job and I want to do something else, or I'm feeling called to move to a new city, but I'm scared. A lot of things like that where people are looking outside of themselves to make that decision. They're coming to me, they're sending me DMs like, hey, should I leave my job? Hey, should I move to this other city? And I'm like, I know that you feel like you know me, but I am truly a stranger and I should not be making life-altering decisions for you. Like you, you know, so it's trying to guide them to make those decisions for themselves. But that has been a really big theme.
Now, when we met, obviously we talked about transition. One of the things I wanted to talk about is obviously your transition to New York, but more importantly, your transition away from full-time employment to full-time podcasting. Now, what or who, Nicole, made you give up your job and dive into full-time podcasting?
That is so funny.
This context, because we were at dinner and our good friend Nicole Waters was just like, honey, give it up. Give up the job. You're ready. Take the leap. Like, talk to me about that. Were there, as well as Nicole, were there other forces behind the decision that you made?
Yeah. Okay. So I will say Nicole and I have a long history, that most of which she doesn't actually know about, because I met Nicole for the first time in person in September of last year. We are on the same podcast network, so we were podcasting together. I interviewed her for an episode of her podcast. She interviewed me for an episode of mine. It was right before her book came out, and that was when she invited me to attend that dinner that we met at. And one of the things that I was telling her was like, Nicole, I've been following you since almost day one. I have been working in corporate America for forever. I've had a million different jobs in corporate America. It's just really not for me. And I remember in 2016 watching her quit her job on Periscope, and I told her how much that inspired me and how much I just looked forward to the day that I could do the same. And so it was like, since, you know, 2016, she has been kind of like this mentor from afar for me for getting to that point. And then, you know, when I met her in real life, she then became that in real life and was really encouraging and affirming.
Love it. Yeah. And talk to me about what you were doing prior to full-time podcasting. What were you doing in the world of, in the corporate world?
Yeah. So my last corporate job was doing content marketing. So actually very, very similar. I was creating content still, but I was creating content for a corporate company under their marketing organization. So a lot of writing, blogging, email marketing. I hopped on some of the company's podcasts. And so I was in a constant state of overload because all I was doing was creating content 24/7 between my business and my corporate job. It was just constant output. And I did that for years, and it was really, really hard.
So do you regret the decision to go full-time podcasting, or is that one you still stand by to this day, 6 months forward?
I still stand by it. Yeah, it's been about four. I left my job in December of 2023, and I still stand by it because it wasn't for me. And, you know, I spent 13 years in corporate America working in various different functions for all different companies, big ones, small ones, in between. And so I feel affirmed, and I know that, you know, the corporate 9-to-5 life is not for me. And I do feel affirmed that I am an entrepreneurial person. I don't think that what I'm doing right now is what I'm meant to do for forever. I've said before, I don't think it's my purpose. I think it's an assignment. And I like differentiating between the two. But I don't regret it at all.
Love it. I love it. Did you – how long was the writing on the wall? And was it just a case – because when I met you, there was still this kind of resistance, this reticence about – oh, you know, I want to make sure that I've got myself together financially first, because obviously, you know, you spoke about being the eldest child. So when you're the eldest child, there really is very little fallback plan. It's on you. And so I remember when we met, I was like, okay, I can feel this kind of like resistance. I know she's waiting for something to click into place, and I don't know what it is. But did you feel like you gave yourself a good runway? Like, what did you do to prepare for that transition?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I've been preparing to leave corporate America since I entered it, but I did. I had been setting myself up for it for years. And honestly, when I first started creating content in 2014, my intention was for content to help me leave corporate America. So it was like a very long time coming. And so, you know, I spent many years being very frugal and saving a lot of money. I paid off my student loan debt just to relieve that financial burden so that I could live a little bit more flexibly, paying myself a really modest salary from my business so that there's plenty of runway to continue running it. All of those things were, you know, buckets that I kind of put in a row as I was preparing to make the leap.
Wow. Since going full time into podcasting, have there been any challenges that you've experienced? Because this effectively was a long time coming, 13 years in the making since you started corporate America. But what are the challenges that you face since, you know, being able to focus fully full term on podcasting?
I think the biggest challenge has been, kind of like I mentioned earlier, realizing that what I'm doing is not getting me closer to the life that I want. And I think it took me doing it full time to fully understand that of, okay, this is closer, but this still isn't it. And there almost has been a bit of grief that I've been processing that of like, oh, for so long, I thought that this was the very thing that I wanted and now I have it. And I'm actually, you know, feeling like maybe it's something else that I want to do. And I don't fully know what that is yet. Or there are things that interest me, but I don't know how to get there yet. And almost this grief of like, oh, I thought this was the very thing that I wanted, and feeling disappointed in myself that it's not, has been probably the biggest challenge.
Is there anything you miss from the corporate world that you don't feel that you've had been able to bring with you? Like colleagues, for example, you know, I think there's something very, can be very isolating about going from, Les is like, no, I definitely wouldn't put my colleagues in this room.
So sorry. I worked with some cool people, but no.
Nothing at all. Okay, cool.
Outside of the paycheck and like the health insurance.
Yeah.
And like literally nothing else about it.
Interesting. When I was, training for the Olympics, it was a really interesting time because I remember working two part-time jobs. This was prior to me winning like a gold medal at the Commonwealth Games. So I was working two part-time jobs, and the amount of excitement that I would get and the anticipation for my training session that day, because I only had now this small window of opportunity to get the two training sessions in, was thrilling. And like those were the years when I was working two part-time jobs, I found that my performance actually increased. And that's kind of unique, right? Because you think you have, you know, less time on your hands. You feel like you're going to be more tired. One of my jobs was in retail. I was on my feet all day. But actually, that was the year when my performance kind of doubled and I made like the world championships and broke through. Fast forward to the world, you know, the time when I was competing at the Olympics that year, I'd given myself way more recovery, way more time during the day to rest and recover. But my performance actually decreased. And so I was really curious to know whether you feel like the time away from the corporate world has it been, and I think I probably already know the answer, has it been a help or a hindrance to the other parts of you that need to perhaps be kept busy, need security, perhaps need additional income, like, or has it all been kind of plain sailing?
That's a really great question. I think it's been a mix. I think it's been a mix of the two. I think what was really helpful to me when I was in the corporate world was how diligent I had to be with my time. At the peak of me, you know, running Balanced Black Girl while working in corporate, particularly when I was living in LA, I was a time management queen. I had my schedule down to a T, and I knew exactly how to manage my energy because I had to kind of fit in everything that I was doing in a day. Mm-hmm. However, I will say I do think that since I have left my corporate job, the quality of my podcast has gotten better. Mm-hmm. Because there were so many times where I would be like rushing late, you know, getting off late from work, rushing into a recording or an interview, feeling super frantic, feeling really just fatigued, not as present with guests. I do think that the quality of my podcast has been a lot better over these past few months that I've been doing it full time because I'm more present with it. And because my work was content-based, I was just creating an unhealthy amount of content between my job and the podcast. So it's a mix. It's like, I think how good I was managing my time was definitely a pro outside job. But I do think that my, I guess, performance as a podcaster is better without the job.
Now you say an unhealthy amount of content. How much content are we talking? What were you responsible for?
For years, my job was to write like 1,000-word blog post every single day. I would be turning out, you know, every week thousands of words, editing the writing of other writers. I was an editor for a blog, managing, you know, easily 30 pieces of content that were going out each week, responsible for millions of page views. If we saw a dip in traffic, I was accountable for that, and it would be really stressful. It was constant output. Like, my brain was just exhausted.
So how have you taken that constant output? And you're kind of responsible for the same thing, just this is all just your business now. How have you gone from a place where, you know, that's been really unhealthy for you mentally, physically, probably emotionally as well, to then kind of whittling it down to, okay, this is my content. Is there a detachment or is it just more space? Do you, you know what I mean? How have you managed almost doing the same thing, but just for yourself?
I think it's been a couple things. One, I do have more support now than I did before. So also during that time, I joined a podcast network also last fall while all of this change was happening. And with that, that gave me a whole support team to kind of support the podcast that I didn't necessarily have before. So it did take a lot of the administrative things off my plate. And now for the podcasting side of things, I do get to focus a lot more on showing up as talent on air. And so I find that when I have the time to really prepare and establish some recording day rituals and actually get ready and feel camera ready and really sit and prepare for my interviews, I do feel like I'm showing up a lot better on the mic and on camera and in conversation with my guests than I was before, just from having less of like the admin-y type of things on my plate, as well as like I'm not now recording a podcast after, you know, sitting down and racking my brain to write 1,000 words about like a really boring tech topic.
Got you. And talking of guests, is there a podcast where you were literally just like, oh, that was the best. That was just the best powwow, the best sit down, the best chit chat. You know, was it like, was there a person that really just stands out to you in all of your 277 episodes?
Yes, I would say that there's two and they have been super recent. We're recording this episode in April 2024. And the two episodes that I can think of immediately that made me feel like that I actually just released last month in March of 2024. So the first would be Kennedy Ryan, who is now a New York Times bestselling romance author. I'm a big fan of fiction and romance, something that I also aspire to write one day. And so she's one of my favorite authors. And I got to have her on the podcast. And it was just such an inspiring conversation for anybody who is a creative and who likes to create things, learning about creating with heart and her creative process and how passionate she is about what she creates was just so inspiring. And I could have sat and talked to her for 10 hours. We had to limit it to one to be respectful of her time. But I wanted to talk to her so much more than that. And then the following week, I interviewed Tembi Locke, who is also an author, producer, for those who are familiar with the Netflix show From Scratch. That show is based off of her book of the same title and really based on her life, her experience through love and through loss. And it was also a really beautiful conversation about creating. And we talked about not focusing on creating to get a certain response or creating for the output, but using creativity as a source to heal. And both of those episodes were such come to Jesus moments for me because I realized like, that's not the space that I've been creating from. I've been creating purely for consumption. I have been creating purely to get positive reactions and kudos and to hit certain metrics for other people. I have not been creating for me. And I think those conversations are two episodes that I'm really proud of and have caused some deep reflection for me that is like maybe a little bit existential in this moment, but that I think I really needed.
So your journal entries after those episodes, give me two things, like two words that you wrote down post episode that resonated from you, that you took away from those two moments?
Yeah. You know, I think in both of those conversations with those women, first of all, it was really great that I felt like I could almost be the little sister for a little while in those conversations because those women are, you know, a little bit older. They are at different points in their lives. They are just more established and have these really beautiful creative art forms that have really touched and truly impacted people. And so I felt like I got to sit down and just be mentored. And I just wanted to soak up all of their energy. And for both of them, they were just the warmest, kindest people. And in talking to them, they made me feel so good. And I was like, wow, I want to make other people feel as good as they're making me feel when they talk to me. And I don't know if I'm really showing up as that person currently in my current season of life, but I strive to be that person. Hopefully soon.
I feel like we've got some creative writing coming from you. I feel like there's a book. I feel like it's fiction, and I feel like you need to get it out of you as soon as possible. Like whenever the mood takes you, like I can totally see it. You know what I mean? From a growth, healing, career, everything perspective. It feels like, you know, everything you've done thus far, it sounds, is extremely practical. But it feels like I get this impression that there's this longing for a completion of another journey that's about to come full circle. Yes, how's the dating scene in New York?
Exactly what I want. that's like I think of my career as certain acts, and I'm like, okay, right now I'm in, you know, the podcast. Not to say that I wouldn't still podcast, because I actually do really love podcasting, but I want to do it in different ways. But I'm like, oh, in a future act, I would love a fiction author act. And I get reached out to from publishers who are like, we would love a balanced Black girl book. And I'm like, okay, maybe, but I actually would really love to like write romance. I would love to write historical fiction. I would love to tell stories. And so anyways, that's, I'm trying to figure out how to get there. I will at some point.
Oh, you'll get there. You'll get there. And I'm here for it. One of the things I just kind of slipped in there that just went unnoticed was, absolutely, I thought you just kind of skirted around.
No.
Like, bring that one back around.
No, I know. I was like, I'm not trying to forget it. I just like really wanted to put a pin in how correct you were at your prediction of what's coming next. How is dating in New York? You know, I am literally at this very moment just now getting back into dating. So for all of 2023, I was just like traveling a ton. I was, you know, between New York and LA. I also had spent a lot of time in Seattle with my family. So I wasn't really dating during any of that transitional time because I wasn't in any one place long enough to, and I was just kind of all over the place. So literally over the past like few weeks, I have opened myself up to dating again and very recently started going on dates again. And, you know, I've had some dates that were like fun and some dates where I'm like, oh, no, thank you. You know, some where I'm like, oh, thank you more, please. And some where I'm like, oh, no, thank you. And it's, I think that my mindset with dating right now is actually way healthier than it's ever been, because it's like I could take it or leave it, you know, with these guys. Honestly, I could take them or leave them. I actually went on a date last night and I had a good time. Like it was cool. I would totally be down to see the guy again. And I was like, oh, I had a good time because I was just being myself and I was like really feeling myself and I was feeling good about it. I had a good time and it wasn't necessarily like he was cool, but I had a good time because of me.
Because of me. Absolutely.
And I've never really felt that way before. And I'm like, oh, I think I'm turning a new leaf. This is how I'm supposed to be feeling about this.
Oh, I love this. I wonder what guys are feeling like, because I feel like, you know, we as women have kind of entered this new era of empowerment, where we're really just standing in our power. It's no longer like this whole chase type of thing. I wonder what guys are feeling like on the other side of like the dating scene, because the conversations that I'm having with my girlfriends recently are just like, oh no, oh, absolutely not. Like I'm not getting out of bed for X, Y, or Z. One of my girlfriends here at the gym, she's like, she won't even go on like a full date. She has to have like a face-to-face. She's like, I'm literally not leaving my house unless we've had like a virtual. There are like these qualifying events that she demands prior to even meeting in person. She says, my time's too precious, you know? So, but most of the girls actually that have been going back and forth to New York find that compared to LA, as we know, there's a little bit more popping over there. People are more out and about. Whereas LA, they're like, you live on the West Side, can't possibly happen.
Right. Yes. I do think that people are a bit more accessible here, and they're more – people I think are just a little bit more open to exploring things here. And it is – I don't know. Dating is just such a weird thing, but I have felt that it is a little bit easier. Like when I first came to New York to visit last year – literally the first day that I was here, I was like getting on the subway and struck up a conversation with this guy and got asked out, you know, for a date, and I had been here one day, and I was like, that did not happen in LA. happen in LA. Yeah.
You know what? The really funny thing is, I feel like I'm in like a Hallmark movie. I feel like Les needs to go to, speaking about you in third person now, I feel like you might need to go to London for a season. I feel like if you go to London for a season, you're going to meet a handsome, dashing, good-looking, successful young Englishman. And then you'll come back to New York and you will write that novel. We'll all sit there and read it and enjoy of the fruits of your labor and the fruits of your time over there. I feel like there might be even a little bit of travel ahead for you. Does that sound like enticing?
I would. That's very enticing. I would love
I booked your flight.
I absolutely would love like a whirlwind international romance to inspire my first novel.
I love
absolutely.
Les, for those people, obviously, you know, listening from your podcast and people that are in transition and people that are thinking about that career challenge, you said that you wouldn't necessarily recommend, you know, I mean, you wouldn't say, I can't possibly, you know, recommend this to you. I don't know about your life, so on and so forth. But what would you say would be the qualifying events for somebody considering a career change? Like, you know, what were like the top three things that you felt that you couldn't keep going down the same route?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is think about where you want to be from 5-10 years from now. And if you don't make a single change in your life, are you okay with where you're going to be 5-10 years from now? Because chances are it's probably going to be the same or a very similar spot. And if you're okay with that, great. If you're not okay with that, then it's time to do something different. Not everybody has to move across the country like I do. Not everybody has to quit their job like I did. But is there anything, any small change that you can make that can help redirect you a bit? So I think that is step number one. I think step number two is sitting down and, you know, even if it's just with a pen and a piece of paper, mapping out what is it that you need. You know, I had someone comment on a TikTok video that I posted recently, like, well, I'm interested. I think they just turned 30 and they were like, well, I'm interested in moving, but finances are an issue. I don't even know where I would want to go. And it's like, then you got to sit down and do some reflection. One, brainstorm places that you want to go. Two, if finances are an issue, then you got to get super clear on that. So let's say you want to move to Chicago. Then you need to do some research. How much does it cost to live in Chicago? What is the average job in your industry pay in Chicago? What do you need to get there? How is that different from where you're at now? And then you need, you got to map out some steps to get there. But if you just say, well, I want to change and I don't know what and I can't afford it, that's going to be really, really limiting. So you got to start getting really clear on, even if you don't know where it is you want to go, okay, how do I want to feel and what do I need to do to get there? And oftentimes when we get that down on paper, we realize it's not that crazy what it is that we're looking for. It's not that scary, or a lot of it is a lot more doable than we think when we actually understand what it is.
Now, we're going to wrap up with a quick fire round of questions, Les. The question round is called Best of the Best. I'm going to ask you 10 things. You're going to give me your first, the first thing that pops into your mind. And so, for example, imagine best piece of pizza in New York, for example. Get ready. I'm looking for all of the top answers. Best thing to de-stress and unwind, in your opinion?
I would say, walking. A walk always clears my head.
Oh, I love a good massage. I'm one of those people with the old tense shoulders. If anything for me, it's massage. We're going to go to technology. Best wearable.
Aura ring. I'm an aura ring girly.
Oh, you are? Mm-hmm. Oh, she's married. Married to Aura. I love it. Best spa.
I haven't had many spa experiences. But I would love to get into it. But I don't even know if I've been to a spa.
What about a wellness? Have you been done any kind of like wellness events or wellness, you know, have you received anything like ice baths, you know, red light therapy, anything like that?
I have. You know, I'm a sauna girly. I love, give me a good like dry sauna. I love feeling heat on my skin. Mm-hmm. If I love uncomfortably warm temperatures. If it's hot cold? Enough, I do. So I love it. It feels so good.
Mm-hmm. I'm the same. I'm literally, everybody hates me here in the gym because I will literally put the heating on in the summer. I wear my winter jacket at the moment. People think I'm crazy. If people put the AC on, I'm like, get out.
AC. It's
terrible. I don't like the cold wind blowing on me. It makes me feel ill. Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's move forward. Number four, best gym. Where do you work out?
Best. I just work out at home right now. I would love to get a gym membership currently. It's just a little pricey. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for a good gym though.
Okay, got you. I will send you after this a nice little workout. What do you have at home? Equipment.
Oh, thank you. We have a gym in our apartment that has like some dumbbells and some, you know, got machines.
It. Yeah. Okay. I'll send you something to get you started and whatnot. Or thank you. Just keep you going. Best water. I feel like there are a lot of artisan waters around at the moment. I feel like there's so much water to choose from. Everybody like has their own preference on water. But if you're going out and you're grabbing a bottle off of the shelf and not refilling a, you know, reusable, then what water are you grabbing?
Ooh, I feel like I tend to grab the, what is it, Essentia? The one with the black label. I tend to grab Essentia, but I'm also a really big fan of putting electrolytes in my water, like any water. I'm an Element girly, so I got to have Element in my water.
I feel like Essentia is, I think that might have electrolytes in as well, but a very small amount, unlike Element, which is literally just pure sodium, salt, everything, you get it all. And don't make the mistake of putting that in like 500 milliliters.
No, you need a big.
It's like
it's for the Stanley.
See, absolutely. Double Stanley. Best journal.
I get it on Amazon. It's like the knockoff Moleskine on Amazon.
Oh, okay. Drop me the link. Text it to me. I'll put it in the podcast episode. Okay. The knockoff Moleskine. I'll put it. Yeah. Best place to walk in New York.
I mean, Central Park is obviously gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Prospect Park is also gorgeous. Yeah, you can't go wrong with any of the parks, the big parks.
Got you. Question, best massage?
Oh, I've never gotten a massage. Well, I have years ago, and I didn't love it.
Okay.
I'm not a big massage girly.
Okay, next time you get back to LA, we've got to do the rounds. We've got to do the rounds. Best on-the-go snack. So you obviously strike me as a person who's going from here to here, left to right, up to down, that strict schedule. You know that you're going to need a snack in the afternoon. What are you grabbing?
I always have some sort of bar in my purse, a protein bar, granola bar.
Any particular brand?
I do really like Good Measure. They have bars that are not going to spike your blood sugar. So if I'm looking for something to just kind of like keep me full for a while, that's a good one. I also recently got these Costco protein bars that have really good macros. They have like 20 grams of protein, 10 grams of fiber, like really solid. So those are two good ones.
We love a good macro here at the Slay Gym. And then finally, best star sign.
Oh, Leo, of course.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Libra because it's a balanced podcast.
Oh, yes. So what's funny, okay, I'm a Leo, so that's why
I'm a Libra.
Leo. I do love Libras. My podcast is a Libra because I started it in October.
There you go.
And I do have some prominent Libra placings. I'm a Libra rising and Venus. So I do love Libras, but like as a Leo, I have to say Leo.
You're a true Libra, I think. Les, thank you so much for joining us on the Slay podcast. I really look forward to hearing what happens next, like what you sink your teeth into. I know it's going to be fiction. I know it's going to be a novel. There's definitely going to be some romance going on in your life. I can't wait to catch up with you when you get to LA, or if I pop over to New York, I can't wait to catch up again. But thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun.
Bless you. Okay, my lovely. We'll speak soon.
Sounds good. Thank you, Louise.
In summary, I remember a quote that said, "Balance is not something you find, it's something you create." That concludes this episode of Slay. Stay tuned for more empowering discussions on female health, fitness, and life. You can follow me at Louise Hazel on social media, and you can follow Les at Balanced Les and check out her podcast, Balanced Black Girl Now. You can also follow and check out the Slay brand at Slay Athletic. Don't forget to subscribe to the Slay podcast if you haven't done so already on Spotify and leave us a review. You can also get all of the tools and resources that we talk about on our podcasts from the Slay app. You can download it now for free from the App Store and join our online community.